You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Guillermo Mash here with Imagining Community, a grassroots media and civic engagement endeavor, sharing stories that make our collective imagination sparkle and engage. First Thursdays at 6 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM and all major podcasting platforms.
How much joy does it bring you getting veggies off the vine and in people's hands, Paul?
More joy than I can possibly imagine. You know, there's not much more of a rewarding thing than being able to utilize the least amount of resources as possible and create something that's so delicious and can feed the community and build up community resilience. And yeah, there's not anything that I'd really rather be doing.
Awesome. I can tell by looking at you. Yeah. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Up and yeah. This is what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Listen to the Boomba Show first Thursday at 6 p.m. on KSFR 90.1 FM. See you there. Bye, guys. Bye. I'm Ave.
And I'm Sophie.
And you're listening to Boomba. See you there, guys.
I already said that twice.
The two short clips you just heard of from our segment features Covering Ground Farm with owner Paul Prather and The Boomba Show, featuring 9 and 11-year-old siblings Avi and Sophie. The seeds for The Boomba Show were planted back in January 2017 when Chico State lecturer Alex Kokonakis hosted a KZFR Youth for Justice segment on raising activist children. Alex interviewed Sabrina Isabel, the mom of the then 4 and 6-year-old Avi and Sophie, and the children themselves. Since then, the kids have been asking mom for years when they were going to be back on the radio. I'd be like, as soon as possible, with a show entirely produced by the kids, now 9 and 11. We start our feature with a re-air of select portions of the 2017 radio show with Sabrina, Avi, and Sophie's first appearance on KZFR 90.1 FM here on Peepaw Radio.
And is there any other stuff that you talk about with the girls in terms of, you know, social climate, you know, kind of what's going on in the world? Do you guys have those conversations?
We do, but, you know, when it comes up, a lot of it may be like, you know, in Chico, they will be walking or driving in the car and they'll see a homeless person asking for money and trying to have the conversation of why, what's happening, that people are in that situation, the fact that people do struggle. We talk about that.
How do you work to try to instill some of those values in your girls?
So for my kids, I've always felt really strongly that they're their own people, but I want to raise good people, right? Whatever they want to do in their lives, they don't necessarily have to make a career out of being an activist. But I want them to identify that there aren't things that are right, right? There are people who, not because it's their fault or anything, are really hurting and suffering. And if we have the ability to do something about it, we should do something about it.
So focusing on some optimism and hopefulness. No 6-year-old cynics just yet.
Yeah. And also, like, I want them to know that it's hard work, right? I think that sometimes people get discouraged if they don't see immediate change when they're doing something. It's like, that's not how it works, mm-hmm. right? But, like, the kids have been with me making picket signs, right? And they'll pretend to be at the picket line marching with their picket signs, and it's great. Like, I want them to know, right? But it's also fun, and it's also great, and it's rewarding.
Girls, do you guys kind of understand what your mom does, how she helps people?
No. Her dad doesn't really talk about it with us.
That's okay.
But I do know something.
What do you know about with what she does?
Well, her helps people don't lose their jobs.
And that's really important. Yeah, it's really important. This is important work, and we're grateful for the work that Sabrina and others like her do, you know, and you guys aren't working yet. Not yet. You guys got some more fun time in school.
I work a lot. I read the kindergarten.
Yeah, kindergarten is a lot of work. I will give you that.
I can work out.
It's a really
I
lot of work.
I can heal water, and I can work out.
That's good. Well, how about you guys tell me, since you guys, we were just having, while the intro was playing, we were having a really great conversation about space.
I love space. we watch documentaries about it.
Yeah, and documentaries are really important.
I watch lots of them. Them are cool. Yeah, TV shows that make you smart.
Yeah, we can learn a lot about space and about science and about how to help people watching documentaries. But
kids learn a lot of
my.
Yeah, you guys do learn a lot.
My dad is a teacher, and he learns about space.
That's cool. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Okay.
I love speaking.
Well, that's important. That's a good thing to have your voice at such a young age. What do you guys want to do when you get older to help people?
I want to, when the black hole's trying to get to Earth, I will throw a bomb and say it'll explode.
So you want to help people be safe from things like maybe in space and use science and what you know to try to help people?
And an asteroid will hit people. I will throw a bomb to it and explode and you'll see shooting stars and people will make lots of wishes and I hope one's a safe one.
Well, I think it's going to be important work that you're going to do here. We need our scientists. We need our people to help keep us safe. And I think it's important, like what you're saying about making wishes and helping people have lots of wishes. I think that's really cool.
With no further ado, the premiere of the Boomba Show. Here on KZFR 90.1 FM, your community radio station serving the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond since 1990.
Hi, I'm Ave.
And I'm Sophie.
And you're listening to the Boomba Show.
So how you doing, Aves?
Doing good. What about you?
Well, a few weeks ago, there's just been some questionable stuff in my food at school.
Like what?
The food was expired, Ava.
Oh my god. Good that I don't go to that school.
Please help me from this prison that I learned in it, please.
What?
Nothing!
Anyway, Sophie, remember about the thing we talked about?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now say it.
Okay. So, a few weeks ago, we were, like, doing a prompt like we always do.
Yeah, and?
And I was like, should college be free? And, of course, because of my parents, I said, yes.
Yeah.
Like, any person would. But then we were, like, searching around and telling each other our stories, and everybody said no.
What?
Yes. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
So... the next segment!
Oh, yeah. So I think it's important for parents to think what they're saying. Because sometimes they could hurt the child. Am I right?
Yes.
And this could hurt the child's feelings and they could keep secrets from you. Mm-hmm. And little to big, it's still important. They could keep secrets like coming out or how they feel when you do something bad. And that could happen in their future life when they're older and adult. And so when they have a partner, they can't tell their feelings. And sometimes they can get stuck with someone very mean.
I had a friend who had that.
Oh, that's very sad. So that's why I think it's important.
Okay, guys. Time to cut out whatever Ava's saying in music.
Sophie, I was trying to...
Shut up, Ava! It's music time!
Okay, we're gonna play Inferno by Bella Porch and The Room Where It Happens.
Yep, good songs. Ooh, Broadway.
Terrible, terrible. She's a Wishing the same. Think I'm getting butterflies, but it's really something telling me to run away.
Secretary.
Mr. Bird.
Sir. And did you hear the news about good old General Mercer?
No.
You know Claremont Street?
Yeah.
They renamed it after him. The Mercer legacy is secure.
Sure.
And all he had to do was die.
Yeah, that's a lot less work.
We ought to give it a try. Now, how you gonna get your debt plan through?
I guess I'm gonna finally have to listen to you.
Really?
Talk less. Smile more. Do whatever it takes to get my plan on the Congress floor.
Now Madison and Jefferson are merciless.
Well, hate the sin, love the sinner.
Hamilton.
I'm sorry, Burr, I gotta go.
But
decisions are happening over dinner.
Two Virginians and an immigrant walk into a room.
Diametrically opposed foes.
They emerge with a compromise, having opened doors that were
previously closed. Bros.
The immigrant emerges with unprecedented financial power, a system he can shape however he wants. The Virginians emerge with the nation's capital. And here's the pièce de résistance. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one really knows how the game is played, the art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. We just assume that it happens, but no one else is in the room where it happens.
Thomas claims
Alexander was on Washington's doorstep one day in distress and disarray.
Thomas claims
Alexander said,
I've nowhere else to turn,
and basically begged me to join the fray.
Thomas claims
I approached Madison and said, I know you hate him, but let's hear what he has to say.
Thomas claims
well, I arranged the meeting, I arranged the menu, the venue, the seating.
But no one else was in the room where it happened,
the room where it happened, the room where it happened.
No one else was in the room where it happened,
the room where it happened, the room where it happened.
No one really knows how the parties get to yes. The pieces that are sacrificed in every game of chess. We just assume that it happens, but no one else is in the room where it happens.
Meanwhile,
Madison is grappling with the fact that not every issue can be settled by committee.
Meanwhile,
Congress is fighting over where to put the capital. It isn't pretty. Then Jefferson approaches with a dinner and invite, and Madison responds with Virginian insight.
Maybe we can solve one problem with another and win a victory for the Southerners. In other words,
oh, ho.
A quid pro quo.
I suppose.
Wouldn't you like to work a little closer to home?
Actually, I would.
Well, I propose the Potomac.
And you'll provide him his votes.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Let's go.
No.
What else was in the room where it happened? The room where it happened? The room where it happened?
No one else is in the room where it happened.
Alexander Hamilton.
presidential pressure to deliver
Alexander Hamilton.
Or did you know even then it doesn't matter where you put the U.S. Capitol?
Cause we'll have the banks, we're in the same spot.
You got more than you gave.
And I wanted what I got. When you got skin in the game, you stay in the game. But you don't get a win unless you play in the game. Oh, you get love for it, you get hate for it. You get nothing if you
wait for it, wait for it, wait.
God help and forgive me. I wanna build something that's gonna outlive me.
What do you want, girl? What do you want, girl? If you stand for nothing, girl, what do you fall for?
I wanna be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens. I wanna be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens.
I wanna be in the room where it happens.
Saying what they trade away.
We dream of a brand new start,
but we dream in the dark for the most part.
Dark as a tune where it happens.
I've got to be in the room
where it happens.
I've got to be
the room where it happens.
I've got to be
the room where it happens.
I've got to be in the room
where it happens.
I gotta be
the room where it happens.
That music has been pretty good.
I'm Ave, and what number, and this is Sophie, and you're listening to The Boomba Show. Hey, Soph.
Yeah?
Let's talk about Bob's Boogers.
Oh, please don't.
Wait, I don't care, I'm talking about it.
No!
Yes. Okay, so, Bob Burger is my favorite TV show. Like, I watch it. I binged it all the way through quarantine. Yes, and don't hate me for it. I know there were other shows I could have been watching, but I do not care. So to prove that, there is 12 seasons now. There's one more added. Oh, I love it. I just watched through it. Oh my god. Since the 12th season, the first episode, Wanda has some trauma, I realized. Jean has, is actually has a sweetheart, and Louise is, a murderous demon from hell. I am joking. She's just super bad. And, Tina is a boy obsessed girl that is just Linda and Bob, they own a burger shop, so like there's I told you this 12 seasons, and it's so important to me. I'm watching it now. I'm binging it again. Yes, and I'm all done.
Finally. Now, I just gotta say...
Wait, no, Sophie, stop. I'm sorry, stop. Sophie Strusmith. Sophia Strusmith, please.
You know what my favorite food is.
No, please.
Lentil soup! So, you know, lentil soup is the thing that my mom makes. And we all know that it's my mom's favorite, correct?
Yeah.
And we all know that's Ava's favorite.
I don't... No.
It is right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, my mom makes it with chicken, lentils, sour cream for me. And it's so good. It just melts in your mouth.
Yum.
You better not be lying.
Yum. So, yeah, it's made and it takes so fast. And I eat it every time I swim. And it reminds me of my enemies when I stamp on their graves. So, what about you?
After that trauma, it's hard to say, but I can't say I know it. I know it, and it has to be pasta. When Mom makes it, it's perfect.
Oh, well.
Well, okay, anyway. Mom makes amazing pasta spaghetti, lasagna, summer spaghetti. Ugh. Anyway. Mom makes this perfect meat sauce. You agree, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's delicious. Mom makes also perfect noodles. It melts in my mouth.
You know those are store-made, right?
I do not care what you say about that. And she makes bread with it, which I dip it in with butter.
That's also store-bought.
And shut up. And it's delicious. Oh, and, yeah. So, isn't this great, Sophie? Having a great experience with pasta is amazing. But yummy pasta, right? Yummy
yes,
pasta.
Yes, let me go. That was a lot, but we gotta play two more songs before we go.
Girls and Meet Me at Our Spot.
Ava picked Meet Me at Our Spot because...
Great song. I love it. Ugh.
Fake faces hiding everywhere. Made up makeup, made up stares. To hide their stolen air. Don't look too close, don't you dare. Stupid seems to be in the air. In the air, everywhere. Blameless, I'll shatter through the glare. Make it, take it, they won't share. Waiting for an invite to never come along. I am the latest colors, I sing the newest songs. I read all the lyrics so I can sing along. I am the latest colors, I hate the newest songs. I can stand the lyrics, I never sing along. I'll never sing along.
I can't blame them.
Okay, welcome back to the studio. Again, to remind you, I'm Sophie.
And I'm Ave.
And this is the Boomba Show.
So, Sophie, what are you gonna be for Halloween? I just wanted to know because you never told me.
Don't get me started.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna be a bat for Halloween.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Not a basic bat. A Satan bat.
Anyway, how are you, like, gonna put it together? Like, what's your accessories?
A lot of purple, maybe a backpack, and some boots, you know, maybe to put it all together like a cincher.
Are you, like, gonna have big wings?
Depends what you think big is.
Huge?
No.
Mungus?
Yes.
Yule.
Okay, so what you gonna be for Halloween?
A murderer.
Any murderer?
I have a giant axe. I'm gonna have a buddy headband, a leather jacket, it can be whatever it is. A white crop top with blood stains on it, a skirt, fishnets, big black boots, a giant axe so I can slay my enemies, and just a big wagon with bloody baskets with it. Don't tell them what they're filled with. Don't tell them. Don't think about what the bags are filled with. Please don't.
So you're also gonna have like a skirt and stuff like that?
I told you that. Yes.
So, okay, and you know, Dad's making the axe and a lot of the stuff is homemade, so take a while. I just wanna say you picked some good stuff for music.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, actually I did. Oh. Okay, so our next thing is kind of just talking about like what you wanna be when you're older. Depending from our old show, like 7 years ago.
Yeah. I want to be a dentist and a model.
Well, cool. I want to be an astronaut until I have the shocking realization that you have to wear diapers.
What?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that. What? Are you serious?
Yeah, that's the thing that they don't tell you about.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. But now I want to be a pharmacist.
That's going to scar me.
It scarred me. 6-year-old first trauma. It's not funny.
Ow.
But yeah, like, what's your favorite chips and food?
Potato chips. Lays.
Well, mine are barbecue.
Cool.
Are you excited for next time I come up?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited.
You know.
What do you got that look on? And why did you shove me earlier, giving the same look?
I sidetracked.
Sophie, stop.
But you know how your drawings have been.
Please stop talking about that.
How's the fan fictions been?
Nothing to see here. Okay, we're gonna go on to the next segment. Play the little music. Bye, everybody. This is Ava and Sophie, and
we'll see you next time. Gotta play 2 more songs before we go.
It's been so long, and the family jewels. I hope you enjoy.
Yep.
But the future keeps luring in like a pack of snakes. Your sweet little eyes, your little smile is all I remember. Those fuzzy memories mess with my temper. Justification is killing me. This killing isn't justified. What happened to my son? I'm terrified. It lingers in my mind and the thought keeps on getting bigger. I'm sorry, must be, baby, I wish I'd been there. It's been so long since I've seen a soul lost to this monster.
To the family Jews, simmer
Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM. See you then.
See you later, guys.
And be able to see fabulous Adrian.
Imagining Community is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Also made possible by the 8th Annual Chico Reptile Show on Saturday, October 9th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. This is a family-friendly event with hundreds of exotic pets and supplies available from quality breeders. There will be a raffle sponsored by T-Rex Products, kids' activities, and more. Details for the 8th Annual Chico Reptile Show on Saturday, October 9th on Facebook or by email at chicoreptileshow@yahoo.com. All right. Thank you, Boomba. Make sure you tune in next month for their second show. After a short musical break with Farm Life by Colt Ford is our second feature on Covering Ground Farm with owner Paul Prather and Jared Geiser, a local ag expert and farmer who shares his extensive knowledge about mulching here on Peep Pow Radio.
You know, I came up in a small town, couple trees and a creek we could float down. Ain't much to see when you look around, just farms for miles. And you can find me riding around on some 33s, a cocked back kicking dirt on my John D's, international harvesting us some whole wheat. Yeah, let's take a ride.
Just living the farm life. Yeah, we're living the farm life. Little back road swagger, that's how we roll. We plow it and we plant it and we drive it real slow in the farm life. Just living the farm life.
We waking up in the morning before the sun does. Feed the cows and the chickens and the ducky ducks. Ain't got a lot, but we got enough. Yeah, you know what's all about. Touching dirt with your bare hands, fixing up, taking care of your family land. Wife it up, become a family man. Ooh, just settle down.
Ooh, 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 just living the farm life. Yeah, we're living the farm life. It's county life, simple, don't complicate it. Big city living, no, it's overrated in the farm life. You live in a farm life.
Drink some shine, get a little sauce. Get your girl, kick your back, kick your boots off. Maybe wake up in somebody else's hayloft. If you know what I mean,
I do.
We can park it out there
on the tailgate.
Talk about nothing till the day breaks. Amarillo by morning,
by George Strait.
Yeah, we got it on repeat.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Just living the farm life. Yeah, we're living the farm life. Out here we know how to treat a girl right. We take her by the hand and love her all night in the farm life. Just living the farm life. Oh yeah,
We're at a Covering Ground Farms today, just outside of the city limits of Chico, and we are looking at some ground that is covered. As the name implies, this farm really takes into account soil health and the decision making of, you know, how to manage the vegetables for the interest of the plants, for the interest of the life underneath the ground, and the interest of the life above the ground too. And so yeah, we're looking here at a whole bunch of tomatoes that have a nice thick layer of cover on it. So within the tomato rows is a whole bunch of straw that's laying out, covering the ground, keeping the soil protected from the temperature extremes, from the hot sun. So when the hot sun is on that bare soil, it just bakes it. It kills the microbes in the soil and does not create the conditions for biological activity. And so just by doing something as simple as covering the ground, you can work wonders at regulating the soil temperature, creating the right conditions for that soil life to really thrive, because that is how nutrients are cycled. Nutrients are not cycled through physical processes as much as they are through biological processes. So you need the fungi, you need the bacteria, you need the earthworms, the arthropods, you need all of it working together to cycle the nutrients and get the plants growing as healthy as they can. And so yeah, we got straw growing in between the tomato rows, and then nice thick layer of wood chips covering the walkways in between that. And it is a beautiful sight to see, keeping the moisture in and the weeds out.
So you're putting some hands on this? What does it feel like?
Feels, I don't know, organic.
Feels organic.
Feels like some organic material.
Organic material.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You like having organic material in your hand.
Always,
you're smiling.
Yeah, all in and around me.
And the best thing about it is it's free.
Yeah.
You hit up a local tree company and you get put on their list, and they'll come drop 20, 30, 40 yards of wood chips at a time. It's just a pure carbon source, and you could utilize it to mulch the ground, and it builds up fungi and biological networks in the soil that feed your production rows. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Turning waste into food.
Turning waste into food. You know, I'm not paid for this little promotion, but these are some of the best little cherry tomatoes I've had all year, man. These things are popping. All right, Gimel Mash for Imagining Community. I'm out here at a new, exciting, regenerative agriculture little farm, and I'm here with the proprietor. And why don't you give yourself an introduction, Paul, and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're excited about this new project.
How's it going, Imagining Communities? My name is Paul Prather. I graduated Chico State in 2019 for ag business, and I've been here in Chico for about 9 years now, farming various vegetables and getting involved in the community as best as I can, and I felt this was the best way that I could do it.
So why don't you give our listeners a little idea of how big this property is and how you see it building out, and how much is being farmed right now and how much is fallow?
Yeah, of course. Usable land on the property, I'd say, is about 4 to 5 acres. What I've built up so far is probably just under an acre of usable bed space. Right now, I've been dealing, and the last couple crops have been hit or miss because of such extensive weed pressure, because this has basically been unused land for 10, 15 years. So it's been like a seed bank. So every time I plant a crop, we're just having so many weeds come up. It's been really, really tough to get good yields. So I'm laying part of that 1 acre fallow for the next couple months and doing some extensive kind of like cover cropping and weed patrol before I plant any more crops. But right now I have two production blocks in production, one with peppers, one with tomatoes. And we just started yielding peppers and tomatoes. And so I'm excited about that. And then the plans for the rest of the usable property, about the next 3 to 5 acres, we're planning on building some mobile chicken tractors in the next couple months, and we're going to be grazing chickens and doing egg production, and also expanding on veggie production and I'm going to build 2 or 3 hoop houses this winter as well, and start doing salad mixes and more root veg, like carrots, beets, radish, and kind of just a nice variety of stuff.
You're doing microgreens too, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of what this all started on. I did it for my internship my last semester at Chico State, because the list of available internships didn't interest me very much, so I asked the director of the internship program at Chico State if I could start my own business growing and selling microgreens. And as long as it had community involvement, that was going to be okay. And so I had to explain how that would involve the community. And it was, you know, going to restaurants and businesses and talking with the produce buyer and the chefs and explaining what the product I had was. And she thought that was really cool because I'd be growing and selling a product, learning about all the different aspects of starting a business and going out in the community and trying to sell this product. So that's kind of, yeah, what the veggie farm started on was growing and selling microgreens, which I'm still doing now. Yeah, it's been really exciting.
Why don't you explain what microgreens are for people who might not know?
Microgreens are the stage between baby leaf greens and a stage above sprouts. So it's right in between. They're just little baby, dainty baby greens. They are grown in little trays within a greenhouse, and they're very flavorful, crunchy, nutrient dense. And what's making them super popular right now is the fact that they have a way higher nutrient density than their mature counterparts. So in some of the studies that I researched, my doing a couple papers at Chico State, has shown anywhere from 5 to 40 times the nutrient density in some microgreens, for example, broccoli microgreens, than in broccoli itself. That's kind of the hype around them, is that they're really easy to grow. It's a really nice cash crop for a small scale farmer, and they're super delicious. You can use them on a wide range of dishes, sandwiches, salad topper, smoothies, pretty much anything. So right now they've been consistently at the co-op, so you can find them at the co-op with the label Covering Ground Farm. I do a spicy mix, radish and mustard, which is the most popular, and sunflower, pea, and I'm working on a few new blends to incorporate.
Now, why regenerative ag? Maybe explain why you chose regenerative ag and maybe a little thumbnail on what that is.
Through my years of vegetable farming and going to Chico State and just doing research on different styles of ag, and then being surrounded in industrial ag, monoculture, walnuts and almonds, and then also the other spectrum is organic farming, where you're still kind of allowed to use different types of organic approved sprays and different things. I found that the most interesting style of farming was growing a wide diversity of things and utilizing principles that rebuild and regenerate the soil. So organic farming and sustainable farming is kind of just sustaining what's already there, you know, what could already be damaged. Whereas regenerating, you're actively regenerating the soil through cover cropping and mulching and using local materials and trying to minimize the inputs as much as possible, creating a closed loop type of system on your farm, which I felt fascinating. Like, how can you grow the most produce and the most high quality produce using the least amount of external inputs and kind of just creating this nice closed loop system that's regenerating soil? And the other super important part of it, of building soil, is which I didn't know until a couple years ago doing some research, is that soil is actually a carbon sink, just like the oceans and the forests. And the act of mulching and cover cropping actually can hold carbon in the ground and help reverse climate change. So I figured creating a vegetable farm that's producing a lot of produce for the community and at the same time creating a carbon sink that's actively combating against climate change would be a really cool system.
I don't know why, I guess I shouldn't say, I don't know why it pops in my head, Paul. It was last year, 60-year anniversary, they had this globe. It was a fascinating thing. I'll have to Google this because I want to see this again. But they created it 60 years ago, and it's a closed-loop system. It's just a globe. It's a fairly small, but it's not super small. I don't know, maybe twice the size of a basketball. But it's been producing its own CO2, its own oxygen, its own plant life. It's all self-sustained. And they showed the picture of this thing, and it's just sitting there, you know, perpetuity. Yeah. I thought that was cool as heck. So that's kind of a similar thing. Yep. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the attractive thing behind establishing a system like this, a living ecosystem, essentially, where these vegetables are grown. Because once you get these systems in place and the soil is living, essentially, then the vegetables almost start to grow themselves. Whereas if you have a soil that's depleted of all nutrients and all living organisms, then you're constantly adding fertilizers and buying stuff to try to get the plants to maintain some form of health. Whereas what I've seen is building up soil through cover cropping and mulching and compost and, you know, well-made compost. The plants just thrive so much more. They have more pest resilience, so you don't have to use insecticides and herbicides and all this stuff. And so it's just a really interesting way to try to produce food for a community and also making sure that it's good for the environment. Long-term goals, I'd really like this farm to be educational, experimental, bio-intensive food forest. Bio-intensive meaning there's a lot of diversity going on. There's the hedgerows, there's the crop production, there's the lives, you know, the chickens and whatever other types of livestock we decide to bring in. And then food forest being, you know, there's multiple species of low and mid and high canopy crops. And got a plane going by.
That's the non-organic farm.
Yep, we got the spray planes flying over our almonds here. All day.
We're just glad they don't fly over here.
Yeah, they don't fly over here. And that's another, which just brings me up to another important point. Trying to do a regenerative farm, organic farm like this, it's important to have these ecological barriers from our neighbors who are spraying harmful stuff on their monocrop farms. And so having these hedgerows surrounding our farms are basically creating that ecological kind of healthy barrier that can prevent any overspray or help prevent any overspray. Might not be 100%, but it's better than just having your crops wide open to the outside stuff coming in. Back to, yeah, the long-term benefits or the long-term goals of this farm. We really want to turn it into an educational thing for the community and start hosting workshops on how to build up your own production beds, how to build your own soil, how to build hedgerow, pretty much everything that we're doing here. We'd like to start doing little workshops on, maybe at least, you know, start off like once a month. And if it turns into something that's more frequent, great. But that's kind of like the long-term goal. We'd really like this to be a production facility. So producing food for the community, building up community resilience as best as we can through as much healthy regenerative food production as we can. And then also being an educational, more planes.
Any closing comments, Paul?
I just like to let everyone know that the farm stand here, Covering Ground Farm, in collaboration with River Oak Farm, who is the owner of the property, we're planning on opening this winter. And we're kind of doing a soft opening right now with the peppers and tomatoes. So if you'd like to contact me and come check out the farm and come pick up some produce, you can message me on my Instagram, Covering Ground Farm, and check out the progress of the farm on there as well.
Thanks, Paul. Imagining Community is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Pearl Consulting, offering digital branding and marketing to attract and connect with your ideal client. From websites and logos to social media, owner Sarah Fontaine provides comprehensive branding solutions for your online presence to bring you the business you're looking for. Visit pearlconsulting.tech or call 530-588-7505 to get started. Also made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and the Chico Arts Center. Open Studios Art Tour OSAT 2021 is both virtual and in person with over 50 artists. Purchase the guidebook with map and access code at ChicoSAT.com and at the Chico Art Center, Art Etc., Ellis Art, and Chico Paper Company. Online only access at ChicoOSAT.com. An access code can be purchased by credit card. OSAT Gallery Exhibit is October 2nd through the 24th. Tour weekends are October 16th and 17th, and 23rd and 24th. More details on Facebook and ChicoArtsCenter.com. Guillermo Mash here, thanking you for listening to Imagining Community. a grassroots media and civic engagement endeavor, sharing stories that make our collective imagination sparkle and engage. First Thursdays on KZFR 90.1 FM at 6 p.m. and all major podcasting platforms. Gonna take you to the top of the hour with Flow by Jim Brobeck, who was the best in Chico 2021 critics pick for Water Warrior of the Year, here on Peak Pop Radio.
Be the ocean flow, be the water flow.